self-healing concrete on roads just yet. The researchers are working on bringing it to market in the next few years. And when it's ready for widespread use, self-healing concrete could make potholes a thing of the past. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Shear with help from Jason Weiss at Purdue University. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. For a moment of science, I'm Yael Cassander.
The Chicago Cubs are hosting the last-place Pittsburgh Pirates this afternoon at Wrigley Field. The Cubs trail the St. Louis Cardinals by 4.5 games in the standings after losing 5 games in a row and 7 of their last 8. Things are looking up, though, for the Cubs this afternoon. At the top of the third, Chicago leads Pittsburgh 14-0. Adam Wainwright tries to become the National League's first 14-game winner tonight when the St. Louis Cardinals open a series with San Diego. The Padres are in last place in the National League West. The Chicago White Sox continue their road trip tonight in Oakland, where Jose Contreras will get the start against the Athletics. The Sox trail Detroit by 2.5 games in the American League Central. A member of the University of Illinois golf team has claimed the Illinois State Amateur title for the second year in a row. Sophomore Luke Guthrie won the tournament in Bloomington yesterday. Fellow University of Illinois player Zach Barlow took the crown 1 year ago. And the Indiana Fever are holding on to the WNBA's best record at 18-5 after a victory over the struggling Minnesota Lynx. Ebony Hoffman scored a season-high 24 points as the Fever used a fourth-quarter rally to beat the Lynx 91-81 last night in Minneapolis. That's sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, now with a new dinner menu. Tapas served every evening until 2 a.m., along with lunch on Friday from 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Information on menus, wine, and beer lists is at RadioMariaRestaurant.com.
It's 2:42. Classes begin at the University of Illinois August 24th. That's just 1 week from Monday. For many students who are renters, August is the month their leases expire. As a result, there are a lot of people moving into and out of Champaign-Urbana. Perhaps you're moving out and you're wondering what to do with some things you'd rather not move. You could donate them to the annual University YMCA Dump and Run Collection and Sale. Dump and Run is co-sponsored with the International Student Scholar Services Program at the U of I. You can make donations today until 4 o'clock this afternoon and tomorrow from 9 a.m. until noon at the University of Illinois Stock Pavilion at 1402 West Pennsylvania Avenue, Urbana. Now, on the other hand, maybe you don't want to get rid of some stuff. Maybe you are in need of some things to outfit your place, a desk, a table, a chair. How about utensils for the kitchen? Maybe some like new clothing. Well, then you want to check out the Dump and Run sale. You'll find lots of bargains, many, many items. This year's sale is Saturday, August 22nd and Sunday, August 23rd at the Stock Pavilion. Rebecca Guyette is the Director of Development for the University of Y, and she joins me this afternoon to tell us where we stand at the moment. What kind of items are you looking for, and what have you got on hand already, Rebecca?
Well, hi, Celeste. I'd say furniture is the name of the game yet again. That tends to be our hot-ticket item that students just love and community members. So if people have furniture items that they can bring themselves to the Stock Pavilion, we'd be happy to take them. And actually, we've got some volunteers who have said they could come early, so we'll be there tomorrow morning from 8 a.m. to 12 noon. So I would say, again, furniture and then kitchen items are things students always need. So pots, pans, dishes, glassware. Right now, we've got a good assortment. We just got a brand new futon that was delivered that's in mint condition, as well as some couches and end tables. We also have a great assortment of kitchen items that I've been looking at, and trash cans and all the kinds of things people can use in their home, and certainly that students could use in their apartments. And so,
Okay. And to make things clear, you can be a member of the public, can you not? And take advantage of the sale?
Absolutely. I mean, this is open, both collections and the sale,
okay,
to anyone.
All right. Now, are there items you're not accepting?
Sure. We won't take any large appliances. We don't accept anything that is not working. We will not be able to accept mattresses. We cannot accept large furniture items. Large exercise equipment. Of course,
okay,
we accept large furniture items.
Couches.
We do not accept, we prefer people not bring holiday decorations. But these are the kinds of things that we always end up with so much with at the end. And so we've tried to get it to the point where we're collecting items that are going to be used and that we will be able to sell. So, and we're also, looking for volunteers still as well.
Okay. So if you're looking for volunteers and there are folks listening to us this afternoon who say, well, I could help, I could lend a helping hand, how do they volunteer?
Sure. They could just show up at the Stock Pavilion anytime. We're there today till 4 and then tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 12 noon. We're there Monday through Wednesday next week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. So 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. next Monday through Wednesday, the 17th through the 19th. And then the 20th and 21st, we're there from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And so they just show up where we ask people wear closed-toed shoes and older clothes, but to show up at the Stock Pavilion. Heavy lifting is not required. I can't repeat that enough. All skill levels, so from sorting books to helping unpack boxes, we all skill levels are required and needed.
Okay, and just to be clear, next week, Monday through Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., what you're going to be doing is organizing things.
Absolutely, yeah. We won't be doing any collections next week. That's just what we need help there organizing, correct.
Okay. What are the hours for the sale on the 22nd and 23rd?
Sure. The sale on the 22nd is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and that's with the $2 admission donation to the Y, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then on Sunday the 23rd, we're open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that day is our $3 bag sale and half-price furniture sale. So that's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the 22nd or 23rd, and then we'll close for half an hour and reopen at 4 p.m. on the 23rd, 4:30 p.m. on the 23rd, and that will be a free grab, so people could just come and take things and help us get rid of our leftovers.
Okay, sounds like you're ready to go.
I feel like it, and I certainly hope so. We appreciate the community support. This is the eighth year, and it's just grown every year, and we really do appreciate it. I think there's a need for this type of event here in Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah, very good. Rebecca, thanks so much.
Thank you, Celeste.
Rebecca Guyette is the director of the development for the University of YMCA, excuse me. And coming up is the University YMCA Dump and Run sale. Today and tomorrow, the collection for the sale continues. You can make donations today until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And tomorrow from 8 a.m. until noon at the University of Illinois Stock Pavilion, which is located at 1402 West Pennsylvania Avenue in Urbana. This year's sale is Saturday, August 22nd, and Sunday, August 23rd at the Stock Pavilion. The man in charge of the University of Illinois' Urbana campus says he intends to stay put as long as he's wanted. Chancellor Richard Herman's name was attached to some of the controversial admissions decisions based on inquiries from university trustees or influential politicians. Now the U of I is disowning the so-called Category I clout list, and trustees have either resigned or have been asked to do so. Herman and President Joseph White also find themselves facing calls to step down. Herman told AM580's Tom Rogers he still has the support of a broad constituency.
Understanding the errors that have been made here, I I still feel I can contribute to solving the problem and moving the institution forward.
How about the level of support in the community and among the university as a whole? How do you gauge that, and how do you work with that now that the investigation portion is over?
Well, on the one hand, I obviously intend to go to speak with the Senate, as you're well aware. Number two, I continue to hear from members of the community. I think you watched, if you watched the news report the other night, there seems to be that continuing level of support. As you know, my wife and I are here not just as members of the academic community, but members of the larger Champaign-Urbana community, and we're very proud of that.
You'll be working with a new set of trustees. At least three of them will have changed, or at least have been reappointed. The governor has asked others to resign.
He has, and you know, I pledge to continue to work with that board as long as it wishes me to do so.
What do you tell those new trustees once they come on? Because they will be the ones that will be deciding the personnel, the top personnel of the university.
Sure. I mean, the president and I work subject to the board, board's will. And I think they will probably take the MCVA Commission's charge seriously. I suspect they will. And ask us to have discussions. So I intend to tell them fully how and why and when.
How do you feel the commission worked in its job of looking into the matter? Do you feel you were treated fairly? Do you feel the university was treated fairly?
Well, I think the commission certainly did a good job of identifying the issues at hand and made some absolutely wonderful recommendations about moving forward. I think the criticism of those who were criticized were, I think Joe White used the right phrase, the criticism was proper, that we should have been criticized for this this activity, however well intended.
I mean, did you feel when you had made the recommendations to admit people, when the dean of the law school had questioned whether or not somebody should be admitted, for example, in an exchange of emails that had come out, did you feel that this was a shaky territory that the university and the lawmakers that had asked were stepping up?
Sure, I think I was pretty forthcoming about that particular decision and where I felt I was getting directions from and the need to go in that direction. But it was extremely uncomfortable, which is what I said at my testimony.
Former Dean Hurd had mentioned the word victimized in her discussions after the controversy had surfaced. Do you feel that you were victimized too by the process?
Well, you know, to the extent that pressures were put on me, yes. But I can only speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for others. And Dean Hurd's words are her own, so those are not words that I choose to use.
We have a new crop of students who will be coming in.
Right.
The admissions process is starting very soon. What do you tell the students, the incoming people who are applying at this point, who have heard what's been going on in the past 3 months? What's your assurance to them?
I tell them that this is one of the greatest institutions in the world, and they will get a great, great education, and that whatever variances in an otherwise great process took place in the past are no longer going to take place.
This week, U of I administrators began the process of changing the admissions system. They want a firewall between admissions officers and their higher-ups, as well as set up a better publicized system of appealing rejections. Chancellor Herman says he wants to be there to make certain those changes are put in place within the next 8 weeks. You can hear more of Tom Rogers' interview with Chancellor Herman at www.illinois.edu/news. The old state capitol in Springfield was the site yesterday for the unveiling of the third in a set of four Lincoln bicentennial one-cent coins. Jenna Dooley reports.
Some people just don't mind waiting in lines. From securing tickets to a concert, the latest blockbuster, or day after Thanksgiving shopping, some things are just worth the wait. Les Claycomb of Springfield was the first in line to get the newest Lincoln penny. He camped out downtown a full night before the coin was unveiled to the world.
Well, it's the 200th anniversary of his birth, and they were doing all the different reverse sides or obverse sides of the coin. So I just felt it was something I wanted to collect.
The Illinois coin follows releases in Kentucky and Indiana, where Lincoln also called home. The Illinois penny shows the 16th president giving a speech in front of the old state capitol. Lincoln spent much of his professional career in Springfield. The new one-cent designs will be issued at three-month intervals throughout 2009. U.S. Mint Director Edmund Moy says for collectors, this penny may have special meaning.
Because of the economy, the number of coins being ordered by banks has shrunk a lot. And so while we typically make, you know, 5 to 8 billion pennies a year, we'll probably make 2 billion this year.
The festivities were marked with a visit from U.S. Senator Dick Durbin.
Lincoln once said that the Lord must have loved common-looking people because he made so many of them. So it's fitting that what brings us together today is a common coin. The most common of all, the simple penny.
Durbin also mentioned the great lengths that were made to land on a design for Illinois' peace. Wally Henderson was one of the architects who designed the rebuild of the old state capitol more than 40 years ago. When it came to the original design for the penny, he was not happy with the chosen image of Lincoln holding a book.
And when it came to this penny, he was a great pest. He would not leave me alone. He came to me and said, we cannot have this penny without the old state capitol. And I said, Wally, the decision's been made. He said, make a new decision. And so I called the Secretary of the Treasury, said, Hank Paulson, you're from Illinois? Yep. Land of Lincoln? Yep. I got to ask you a favor for the land of Lincoln. Let's redesign it. Let's include the old state capitol on that penny.
As soon as the speeches were over, people were still waiting in line to buy the newest mint release. Ron Burns of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, made quite the sacrifice by piercing his ears and making his own earrings for the event.
These are the new 2009 pennies. I just made them up here not too long ago.
Not everyone put waiting in this line at the top of their list. William Edinburgh volunteered to wait in the hot sun to pick up some pennies for his mother. But will she share the wealth?
I hope so. I ain't doing